Blog Talk Radio.
This is Fred McMurray on Chicago and View from the Pacific at Business, Beaches, Marketing, and Donuts. How are we doing this fine Thursday evening or afternoon where you are? I can tell you it's been kind of a trek getting here. We lost our power in our office today, and so we're actually coming to you from San Luis Obispo, our alternate office space there. It's been a good day. We're hoping to have Mary Erling, author of many books on generational diversity, as a guest host today. Hopefully Mary makes it. We're also hoping to have Dorian Earl of 360 Photo Inc. They're the good people who can bring you Google Business tours for your business. And if you don't know what that is, that's when you're in Google Street View or Google Maps and you see when you're in a 3D mapping area and you can see the fronts of buildings, if you see one with, I think it's a diamond, you can click on it and go in and tour the building. It's great stuff. We've helped many people get those tours, and hopefully Dorian will be here later today to tell us more about it. If he isn't able to make it from his the convention he's at or job fair he's at, then we'll have him on another week. So let's get the donuts out of the way. Actually was at Slow Donut Company last night, and they have this awesome espresso cream-filled donut with chocolate on top. So it's one of those things of it's a phenomenal thing for those of you who like cream-filled donuts like me, and it's coffee-flavored. I love it. There's been a lot happening today. So want to get into some of the news. The science front, scientists have detected gravitational waves again. The good folks at the Advanced Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, you can tell, long day, have for the second time detected gravitational waves. They believe it is a ripple emanating from the final stages of two merging black holes located 1.3 billion light years away. Think about that, 1.3 billion light years away. So even I'm not that old. Those gravitational waves have traveled a long way to get here. And I think that's just incredible that they can detect this stuff. Check it out and be on. So, looks like one of our guests are here, and say hello.
Who's hello.
Online?
Mary
hello,
Erling.
Mary. Hey, it's our favorite guest host person in Chicago. Mary, how's your day been going?
It's been going well. Thanks. How are you?
We've had some trials and tribulations today, as I mentioned earlier. Actually, power is still out in the office space, so I'm not looking at the Pacific. I know that's a rough life for me, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, how's life in Chicago?
It's good. I did one of my peak networking groups today, and I'm actually doing this show. I hope I don't have background noise, but I'm doing the show from my patio because it's a glorious day.
Excellent. No, you're sounding fine. So for those listeners of us who don't know you, what is a peak networking group?
A peak networking group is one of my going on six networking groups that I have done for the last 11 plus years. It's a more of an owner, business owner focused, small business owner focused group where we have members and then the members bring guests. So we always have somebody new at the group, and we stay non-compete so people can feel comfortable talking about their business and we're not sitting here duking it out for, you know, the first opportunity or business card. Or you feel afraid to talk about what you do for fear the competition steals it. We focus on not so much what you can get around the table, but how you can perhaps help people in your network. So we have enough time to talk about what we do. I encourage people to speak in case study format so that you're not giving some bland back of the brochure kind of talk, but that you're actually talking and telling people how you impact the client, because people remember that more than, you know, just speaking about your product. And, you know, then at the very end, we seek to try to help each other. What's your next challenge that's not your next sale in business? And gives us more of a reason to get together and meet with each other. So that's a peak networking group.
All right. So what you said brings up several questions in my mind. You said you had six. How many do you hope to have? And where would they be located? And how would people try to become a member?
Okay. So I only expand my groups when it makes sense. So I have four groups, two in Naperville, Illinois. They're all in Illinois. One in the Burr Ridge area, one in Elgin, and then one we call Fox Valley, which is in the little town Geneva. A new one is, I run four of those groups. The one in Geneva is run by a trusted colleague of mine, Jim Voigt, who is an attorney. And the new one is going to be run by my partner in one of my companies, and as well as a client. And I don't trust too many people to run my networking groups. So I only expand when it makes sense. I can't facilitate any more groups than four. So any additional growth will be strategic, and I'm very protective of the brand and my reputation. So unless I can poke my nose in there and just make sure it's being done the way I've always facilitated those, I don't expand. So I will not become the next, you know, BNI or LTIP or some of these larger organizations. There could be a seventh in my future. I have no idea. I'm surprised I have a sixth. But that one just kind of fell into my lap.
How would people get a hold of you if they want to see about joining?
They would probably visit my website, peak-ds.com, and then look for Peak Networking Group, the page, and you can contact me through the website. As far as to be a guest.
Like
my members are chosen by me. Right. You need to be a guest, and then
So What I was going to say is that sounds like some high-altitude networking. Sorry, bad joke.
Thank you. And, yes, it is. I've had you come as a guest when you lived here in the area. I actually had you come as a guest a few times, but you would have been a member, but you went and got up and moved away.
Yeah, I know. The call of the Pacific just, you know, got to me.
Right.
So, I got one more question on the peak groups. You said that toward the end of the group, you tend to ask, what are people looking for? And a group that I go to recently asked members what were they the question, I'm trying to remember what the question was. The question was, are you where you wanted to be at this point of in time of the year, which is kind of the other side of the what are you needing at the moment? And I was struck by how many owners said no and what they were missing. So what is it that you found in talking with owners that they were missing or they were needing most is, I guess, what I'm trying to...
See, in my case, I also open up that up to even the personal side. And the goal of that is to give people another reason to get together or perhaps help somebody in their network. So today I had one of my groups, and I had anything from I really need a great handyman to, you know, my photographer that I've used for 35 years retired, and I need another photographer. You know, and any point in between. So sometimes the very individual that somebody needs is sitting right at the table. And, it can go far and wide. So what I'll say, it can be personal. You know, there's one gentleman who was looking for a roofer because he had ice jamming. I know in California people don't know what that is, but we had ice jamming, and he needed a new roof. Well, then from the ice jamming, his dining room table was destroyed from the water damage. Well, he needed somebody that did wood refinishing. And he found these people through the networking group, but at the same time, now they're having a conversation. So it's just another door to open for people to talk and, you know, perhaps even then discuss engaging in business in some way. The gentleman needs the roofer and the refinisher just happens to be a certified financial planner. So for him, you know, pretty much any conversation can be of quality. So could that roofer be a client? Could that, you know, person that refinished his table be a client? So, you know, and that's not the reason that he was putting those things out there was to get new financial planning clients. He needed those things repaired in his home. But you just never know what comes from a conversation.
Amen. So, folks, if you're listening, you got a question for Mary or I, call 323-580-5755. That's 323-580-5755. So, on to some business and influence marketing.
Well, wait, one more thing.
Okay.
Our renewed business relationship started at a networking opportunity, and it all started in a conversation. And then we realized we went to high school together, and the rest is history.
Yep.
So remember that? So
it's
we're a living example of that.
History.
Yes,
we are. And yet the funny thing is we had been connected on the social media platform, which is my next topic, for several years, and didn't realize that. It took being standing next to each other and seeing each other face to face. So my next topic is earlier this week, it was published or whatever phrase you want, that's number of $1 billion by Microsoft.
Yep.
Mary, what are some of the ramifications you see, both positive and negative, on LinkedIn being bought?
Well, through the conversations I've at least been involved in, I believe Microsoft wants LinkedIn's information. I mean, let's face it, when you're looking at LinkedIn, bar none, the best business networking site out there in the social media platform, when you're looking at the wealth of people in LinkedIn in the business world, and then Microsoft, naturally what they do, you know, I see them leveraging our information on LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn has struggled trying to create a platform where LinkedIn is making buckets of money. Perhaps Microsoft's wisdom will come into play, but I hope that Microsoft doesn't mess too much with LinkedIn in terms of the free profile and some of the services. So, you know, I think there's comes with the opportunity, I think comes with a little bit of concern.
Well, I will be honest, my first response was less than happy about it. But as I've contemplated it, I can see very soon where Microsoft would offer LinkedIn certification. Microsoft certified system LinkedIn connection, which honestly, given some of the people who can't find a job, who spend so much time on LinkedIn looking for a job but never find one, so become LinkedIn trainers. I think a Microsoft viewpoint of certifying people for what they know would be a good thing. I do worry about, I seem to get, every time I take a new connections, all of a sudden on LinkedIn, it seems like half the time I accept a new invitation, I suddenly end up on somebody's email marketing list. You had that happen to you?
Yes. Yes. I do, and it's annoying. The thing I wonder is somehow with Microsoft's brilliance is how do they bring LinkedIn into the Office 365 platform, into the Microsoft Office platform. I'm kind of curious, you know, how they could marry up. You know, back in the day, there was an Outlook, a wonderful, actually wonderful Outlook in LinkedIn plugin, we'll call it, rudimentary plugin, I guess. And, you know, that went away. Well, maybe there's, you know, that's where the opportunity, you know, perhaps comes in is what is it that they can bring into the Microsoft Office or Office 365 world. But yet at the same time, not, I guess, again, a concern I have is, you know, the fee base. You know, a lot of small mm-hmm. business owners, you know, when I look at my clients, is making this so fee-based that it doesn't price people out of the market and they're not able to take advantage of tools. So.
Totally understand. Funny story about that tool. I remember it really well. That tool was the The cause of the first time I got sent to I Don't Know Land in LinkedIn. And for those who don't know what I Don't Know Land was, is that if you send out too many invites and people mark it as I don't know this person, LinkedIn will suspend you. And
right.
I was
five of those.
So the first time it happened to me was I had installed that tool, and this was, I think, back in, I don't know, 2007, 2008. I had maybe a couple of hundred connections, and I was installing that tool, and I hit the wrong button, and it sent out, it went through my email box and sent out 300 invites. And I went, oh, no! And then 275 of them accepted, and I went, ooh, that's cool. Let's do that again. And the second time I did that was the time finally, that second time is when I got the sent to I Don't Know Land. So I remember that tool real well. one thing I do think Microsoft could really do well with LinkedIn, and I think it kind of fits with what you're saying about ways to integrate it, is that LinkedIn is honestly really kind of horrid at being able to get data out of it. If you export your contact list, you get first name, last name, I think email address,
right.
And
right,
you know,
right.
There's no good way for LinkedIn business pages to get the analytics out of that. So
their app,
as I've been looking
their
at
their app
it,
is terrible.
Huh?
Their app, their phone mm-hmm. app is terrible.
Yeah.
So I think Microsoft has the deep pockets that LinkedIn needs to, you know, to truly marry it, the power of LinkedIn in terms of the number of people that are in there and how it's used with Microsoft's deep pockets, as well as, you know, the business tools they have. But my concern is what all of that ultimately is going to cost, because somebody's going to have to pay for it.
Yeah. Although from what I hear, Microsoft was sitting on $102 billion of cash, which made, they still got, I don't know, $60, $70 billion. The other thing that I wonder about this is that when I look at the big players, you have Google is in search and phone, and Apple is in phone, and Microsoft battles Apple for operating system. And now Microsoft and Microsoft battles Google for search, allegedly. So now you have Microsoft, and what I'm hearing is kind of leaving the phone industry. But you've got now Microsoft having a much better social media network than Google does. And Facebook has this. So is this going to cause Apple to pick up a social media network? Is Google going to buy Twitter so that they don't get left out in the cold? Or does this, and I've had people argue with me, is Google in trouble that Facebook, when Facebook finally gets search right, that Facebook is going to clean Google's clock? What do you think?
Oh, I think it would be hard to clean Google's clock. I'm not very well versed in the world of Apple. I almost see Apple going in a different direction. We're looking at, I don't know that Apple necessarily, I could be totally wrong, but I don't know that Apple wants, are they even interested in playing in that circle, so to speak. I'm not sure. But as far as Google goes, yeah, I'm sure they are definitely sitting in some really expensive boardrooms somewhere, in one big giant net meeting, trying to strategize on how they don't lose ground at you know, the power that they have. I don't know, not so much in social, but just the power they have, period. I believe they will recover. I don't know about Twitter. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. You know, is Twitter really a strategic replacement for LinkedIn? Not so sure.
Well, I know this. Used to be that President Obama had a LinkedIn profile because one of my friends is actually connected to him with.
When I did LinkedIn training, I was doing the height of doing a host of LinkedIn training before it really moved outside my bailiwick. In essence, when LinkedIn had that huge infusion of cash back in. I want to say that was like 2008. But I was doing LinkedIn training. And that was during the, I remember doing it during an election year. And I had McCain, I had Hillary Clinton, and I had Barack Obama's profiles and I used those profiles as examples when I was explaining the components of a profile page. They were professionally done. It noted that I was a second connection to each one of those, and I also used those to say I will never be a first connection, and I use that as a teaching point because in the business world, some people are comfortable in letting people know what their preferences are. I was not. So I remained a second connection to each one of them, but I used their profile pictures. You know, they had great profiles. I haven't searched Barack Obama lately, so he is no longer on LinkedIn.
So what I would tell you now is both presidential candidates, actually all three of them, since I've not heard anything about Mr. Sanders leaving, are battling it out on Twitter. So, say what you will, but the next president could be decided by people on Twitter. Isn't that a kick in the head? So, we're
about
out of time.
Which I think says a lot about Facebook's influence, because I don't recall, but there was some explosion on Facebook. Was it a few years ago that literally caused some change in course of action or decision? I can't remember what, but it was pretty so interesting how the platforms have shifted in power, so to speak, power of the people.
And I don't think I won't even say that. We have not seen the last of the impacts of social media on how we live and work and play even. And as a topic for maybe next week, we can discuss some of the negative ways that impacts us. So since we're about out of time, I will say goodbye and tell everyone, you know what? Everybody's got a right to an opinion. Just don't tell me yours. No, just kidding, folks. I want to hear your opinion. So next week, same time, call us at 323-580-5755 and talk to you soon, Mary.
Thank you so much, Fred.